This is Destination Midnight. You are listening to the Dreadhouse Podcast. I'm not scared.
On the 29th of October 1846, Davis Hammond was walking along Green Lanes in the county of Middlesex towards his village of Winchmore Hill. It was a usual trip home, unremarkable in every way. He saw few people, apart from a dog scavenging for scraps. It was dusk at this time of year. He knew of stories of people and their superstitions. Offerings were being left out on doorsteps to ward off unwelcome spirits, vegetables mainly. He thought how tasty they would be in a stew, and he thought about taking some but didn't want to run the gauntlet home, being chased by angry locals who wanted to protect their family and their home. He checked his pockets and found a few bob and knew that was enough to get him an ale at the Green Dragon. The fire would be lit at this time, and the other working men would start to arrive for a pint before drifting off home for their supper. He carried on till he arrived at Vicar's Moor Lane and saw the big alehouse sign of a Green Dragon. He took a deep breath and pulled the door. "Mr. Hammond, what will it be?" said the man behind the bar, a stocky gentleman with a bulbous red nose. "Pint of ale, if you be so kind, please, Jack," said Davis. Jack the barman started pouring into a pint glass. "One bob," said Jack. Davis raised his eyebrows as he fished around in his pockets and handed him the shrapnel. "Tar," said Jack. "He's over by the fire." Davis stood on his tiptoes to look and could see a hunched figure sitting by the fire holding a pint glass. He walked over to him and sat beside an elderly man clutching a glass half full of ale, fire gazing.
"Afternoon, George," said Davis. His eyes lit up. "Davis, nice to see you. How long have you been sitting here?"
"Since Jack put the fire on," said George. "I'm going to stay here until closing time. There's too many sightings. I can't take my chances, not at my age."
Davis weighed up whether to ask him what he was talking about. He knew, really. He just didn't want to encourage a long-winded response about the supernatural and strange goings-on in the area, so he thought he'd change the subject instead. "Five people this year have been attacked," George blurted out.
"Three have died."
Davis didn't believe a word of it.
"You live up that way, don't you? Have you seen anything?" inquired George.
"No," said Davis, realising he wasn't going to get away with it.
"Not a thing, George."
In the time of the two men's encounter, George hadn't touched his drink, and Davis, at this point, had caught him up. Davis kept drinking. "They hung her for being a witch. Put a curse on her neighbour, she did," offered George.
"Who did, George?"
said Davis, wishing he hadn't.
"Sawyer. Elizabeth Sawyer. Every year she comes back to get her revenge," said George.
"When will she be satisfied?" quipped Davis. George snapped back.
"Don't mock me, boy. It's no laughing matter, I tell thee. Those who do not take heed will suffer. They always do."
David decided not to pursue the matter further and sunk the rest of his pint. "It's time for me to go, George. I will see you soon."
"Take care on your travels, Davis, and beware," said George, not even looking up.
Davis put on his coat and left. By the time he got outside, it was dark, very dark. He had two options for directions: go up Vicar's Moor or go back to the Green Dragon Lane. He thought, strange place to put a pub where it's named after a road 400 yards away. He walked up Vicar's Moor Lane and turned right towards the main road. There had been talk of a train line being built in the area to connect it to London, but no one was putting up the money to build it. At the end of the field was a small row of cottages, four all in a row. Old, very old, some of the oldest in the village. Three were occupied by elderly residents, one of them was derelict. There were rumours that the rail company had made the owners an offer to buy them all, and the plan was to knock them down to make way for the tracks for the new train line would go straight through them. Davis headed towards the warm glow of the lights from the three cottages that were lit, and he knew once he got past them, he'd be home at the Green. Outside the first house, the derelict one, he saw a dark figure. The figure noticed him as he walked closer. He couldn't see a face, only a silhouette. Then he heard a voice.
"On your way home, are you?" said the voice.
Davis tried to ignore it, not out of fear, just didn't want to chat.
"I said, on your way home, are you?" repeated the voice.
This time, Davis did reply.
"Yes, I am. I just want to get home for my supper."
Davis didn't even stop once whilst replying to the figure.
"Number 73 Hoppers Road. What a lovely house."
This time Davis did stop in his tracks.
"How does she know where I live?" he thought.
I was just talking to your Nana Winifred.
You are such a good boy.
That's impossible, Davies thought. My Nana's been past 10 years.
I remember you used to play with a boy called Alfie Rogers. The conversation took an eerie turn, and Davies felt uneasy, and now, for the first time, he felt a sense of dread.
Alfie told me that you and him broke the stained glass windows in St. Paul's Church.
Davies' blood turned cold. There is no way she could have known that.
This happened when he was 11, some 15 years earlier, and a big appeal was sent out across the village and the parish, and no one seemed to know anything. The only other person who knew was Alfie. He caught pneumonia 6 months later and died, and took that secret to his grave.
Who are you? Trembled Davies.
I'm Elizabeth, replied the figure.
As she turned her head, her face was lit by a flickering light from the next house, and he could see an old woman's profile.
What do you want?
Well, she said, as she leant forward and whispered into his ear.
Davies looked horrified.
If I do that, I will...
Exactly, Elizabeth interrupted. Now off you go.